saved. Thankful for this church especially, and looking forward to what God's going to do in our services this morning. If you would, I'm going to ask you to stand with me and turn to page 676. We're going to sing Face to Face, page 676. Page 416, Hiding in Thee.
Amen.
Thank you.
Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we are going to do the rest of the verses included in our memory verses in the bulletin there, verses 1 through 11. So Philippians 2, 1 through 11. I'll give you a second to get there. All right. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Those are powerful verses, I'll tell you. Amen. All right. We are going to turn over to page 424. Page 424. I ask you to stand with me if you're able. We are going to sing Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Page 424.
Water's soul, while the tempest Amen. You'll jump in this morning in Genesis. Look and take your Bible if you could this morning to Genesis chapter 4. We're going to finish up Genesis chapter 4 this morning and then move into chapter 5. But I left my finishing notes for chapter 4 at home. But I got chapter 5's notes. So we're going to go forward and backward and forward again. Yep. So Genesis chapter 4, verse 16 is where we'll pick up this morning. Genesis chapter 4, verse 16. I like the springtime. There's nothing like the springtime is when you see all the trees starting to bloom and things turn green and come back to life again. It's a blessing to be able to. That's one thing I'll say about Pennsylvania. It's a very beautiful state when it comes to springtime and the blooming of the different trees. Makes you just wonder how heaven will be someday when you see the newness of life that comes here on this earth and the newness of life that we'll see there in heaven with a new body and in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. If this is so beautiful, I can't imagine what heaven's going to look like. I really can't. I can't imagine the beauty that we see around in God's creation. Just with the trees alone, just for me, just the trees alone, the beauty of the trees, much less everything else that God's created that we have here. What heaven must look like is, we can't comprehend it now. But can't wait for that day. But here in Genesis chapter 4, verse 16, I'm going to read through this. And then, Lord willing, next week, we'll just cover a little bit of what's in here. But Genesis chapter 4, verse 16, it said, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of its city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael. And Mehujael begat Methuselah. Methuselah begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other, Zilpah. That right there is first mention of a man taking two wives. And the Lord permits it, the Lord allows it. But to me, I believe that God would only have you have one wife. I think it'd be hard and difficult to be a husband to multiple wives without them killing each other, first of all. Yep. Seriously, I mean, you think about that for a moment. A man that has two wives, how does he keep each of them from not wanting to kill the other one? It's very true. But here you see the mention of first mention here of a man having two wives, and his name's Lamech. And he had two wives there, verse 20. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. To say that individuals in the old, back in Adam and Eve, that these weren't cavemen. These weren't dumb individuals living off in the woods trying to figure out how to build a fire. These are very smart individuals God created from the time of Adam up to where we're at now. Now I think we're dumber, way dumber than what they were. Okay, we're further past what they had. Here you have not far along and you got a man making harp and organs. Okay, musical instruments. So Jabal or Jubal makes those instruments in verse 22. And Zilpah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zilpah, Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth and to him and to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. This morning we'll pick up here Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called the name Adam, in the day when they were created. Just something real short here in these first two verses. What jumps out at me there is verse number 2, when the Bible says male and female created he them God. Again, just a quick review, like we don't know these things, we know them, that there God created a male and God created a female. And how quickly we're turning today from not even being able to understand what a male is or even what a female is. It's not something that you can choose. It's something that God has created and who each of us are. We're either a male or a female, one of the two. Okay? And then he says next there, or the Bible says next, and called their name Adam. All right? Their name. Both Adam and Eve, God referred to them as Adam. Adam and Eve. Today, I'm just going to spend a little bit of time here on looking at this for a moment here this morning. But I believe when a man and woman get married, that God has established a man to be the head of the home. I believe the Bible shows that. And I believe that the wife ought to take the husband's name. I believe the wife ought to take the husband's name and not keep her maiden name and then the last name. Now, the Bible says here in the very beginning, God called them Adam. Adam. Her name was Eve, but God referred to them as Adam. He recognizes the structure in the home, Adam and Eve, but this is Adam. Both of them together. They become one flesh, but Adam. Not Adam and Eve, but Adam. Okay? He says, in that day when he created them, from the very beginning, we find here, I think in a little way, the structure of a home. It bothers me in a number of instances lately over the last year or so, to where working with or trying to be a help to certain couples and talk to certain individuals, I think one of the ways that for those that get remarried, it's a difficult thing, I think, just in itself to be remarried once you were married once to somebody. At least I think it would be difficult. But what bothers me today as a pastor in some instances is where two individuals get married, yet they're separated. And what I mean by that is they'll get married and the wife will keep her still same name and the husband will keep his name. And each of them will have their own bank account and basically almost in a sense their own life. When you get married, you come together and both are one. And it's not your bank account or my bank account. It's our bank account, what God has given us to lead and direct. And I think in some ways it causes a division in homes, even though they're married, is, well, these are my kids and those are your kids. Well, no, now they're our kids. It makes sense. That's got to be our kids. Well, this is yours and this is mine. Well, no, it's now ours. Because you're now one. And if you keep that separation, then that's not good. To me, it's not good. It's not a good situation, in a sense, for the husband and wife to grow closer together. Wives need to realize that even if they were previously married and kids, but now they're married to another man, that man now leads and directs the home. I've seen, there's a couple marriages right now, I'm thinking it's not going to last. Because in a mindset of this is yours, this is mine, well, there's already a division there. And you can't have that division. The devil loves division, and the devil will get in on division, and the devil causes confusion in a division. Two Christian individuals come together, they need to be one, even though they might have pasts on each side. If they're now married, they need to become one. And they need to submit still as if they would with a first marriage to how God has established things. The husband's the head, he leads and guides, and the wife is in subjection to that. Wife cannot make excuses. Well, this is my family. Well, now you are now under your new husband. And you must follow your new husband because that's Bible. And to have it separated, it causes problems and situations, like I said, that unless some individuals get these things straightened out and try to follow what the Bible says, I believe it's going to end up in a ruination. So the Bible says here that God calls them both Adam. Take your Bible and look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, real quick this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 33. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Look what the Bible says here in Ephesians 5, 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, pens these words and says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. Paul gives direction to the husband here to love his wife even as if he loves himself. Just as a man would please himself first, he ought to please his wife as if he would please himself. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, dear God. I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Lord, I just ask this morning, Father, for wisdom. Lord, I ask for guidance today, Lord, that you would just give the words that is needed. Lord, for help, dear God. And Lord, that we would glorify you, that we would magnify you and lift you up. And Lord, I don't know how to come out or come in, Lord, as Solomon said. Lord, I don't know up from down, dear God. And Lord, I pray, God, you just clear the thoughts this morning, Lord. Just give what's needed, Father, and just help, Lord, us to glean what's in your word. And we may apply it, Lord, and that we may be obedient and faithful to it. And Lord, we'll give you the glory and honor in it. And we just pray these things now in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brethren, there seems to be a theme this morning. And I think what's missing in our society today, and what God has established from the very beginning is the Lord's Word, first and foremost. You have from the very beginning here, Adam and Eve. God refers to them, like I said, in chapter 5, verse 2. He refers to both of them as Adam. I believe God knows what he's doing, and I believe God knew what he was doing when he started in the very beginning. God wanted to create mankind, I believe, for mankind to then have fellowship with him as the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as God desires fellowship. God desires fellowship. The angels chose to rebel against God, and then God here decides now to create heaven and earth and to bring about a man and woman. And he establishes the home, I believe, for us to see what God desires with himself. God creates a man. We all know the story in here. God creates a man. Everything's brought before the man. All of creation man sees here. And then God brings all the animals before Adam to number or to name them. And it was said that there was no help, meet, or fit for Adam. There was no creature that God had created thus far in Genesis that was fitting and suitable to be a help to Adam. And as we look at these scriptures this morning, please understand, God created a woman to be a help to her husband. That's the beginning. That's the very first thing that God said and set up in the beginning, was to create Adam, and then he created a woman to be a help, fit and suitable to Adam. God didn't create it. Understand, believe me, understand what I'm saying this morning. I'm not saying that husbands aren't to help their wives. I believe that. But God created a woman to be a help to her husband. That's from the very beginning. To be a help to her husband, whoever he may be, to be a help to him. When a woman gets married, it's no longer her life no more. She is now to be the help to her husband. It's not a matter, well, I'm going to have my job over here, and you're going to have your job over here, and I'm going to have my life over here, and you're going to have your life over here, and then we'll meet together at night and have dinner. Though those things may happen and occur, it's going to cause problems in the home. You say, well, preacher, we made it. We had it, and we worked it out, but brethren, I don't think that's how God created it from the beginning. And that's one of the reasons why I think our country is in the state it's in today, because of the homes. Because of the homes. This didn't happen overnight. The Civil War, I believe it started in this country with the Civil War. The Civil War killed a lot of good men and women, but a lot of men. a lot of good men, a lot of men that had respect. Maybe they weren't saved, but they had a respect to the things of God. And it caused the devil wants to divide. How do you divide? You start with the home. I believe the devil, when this nation was brought forth, I believe from the very inception of this nation, the devil wanted to do all he could to destroy it. Because I believe God had purposes for this country, purposes for this nation. And it was God has things that he desired for this nation to accomplish, and I believe this nation's accomplished some of those things, but I believe this nation's quickly going out of the graces of God and is headed for destruction. But I say all this to say this, that the devil from the very beginning in the inception of this country wanted to cause division to where this country couldn't be what it was. Okay? So not very long after the Constitution rights and we come together as a government, he brings about within 100 years a war so horrendous that more lives were lost in it than Vietnam and World War I and World War II. Bad, bad, horrible. Civil War, horrible. And it brought about a division within a country. And the country came back together again, but I believe there was still a division there. Still to this day. So guess, brethren, look what the devil does here, even during the Revolutionary War. You get you to fight, and people die in fighting. And in the olden days, Old Testament all the way up to probably, I'm not saying that women didn't fight in wars, but most wars that were fought, it was men that went out to fight these wars. The Romans didn't have women weren't in their own Roman army to go out there and fight. There weren't women that were bearing swords during the time of Rome and going out there and defending Rome. Mm-mm. Same with Alexander the Great and all these other wars that occurred. It was the men going out. But what happens when men go out to war and they fight? They die. So what does that leave back home? A wife and a mother without a husband or a wife without a husband and a children without a father. And that's how you destroy a country. That's how you weaken a nation. I believe one of the ways how you do so. And so you see and I'm getting to a point this morning. Please bear with me. Civil War, you lose a bunch of men. Not long after the Civil War, you had World War I creep in. You lose a bunch of good men. Men with character. Men that die on the battlefield. And wives and mothers left back at home with children. Then you sweep in not very long after World War I. Then you bring in World War II. Not long after that. We get drug into it as a nation. And guess what we lose again? Not only this time, men and women in those wars. So guess what's back home again? Wives and mothers raising children without a father and a husband. And then you bring in the Korean War. Then you bring in the Vietnam War. Then you bring in the... And so through all this process, what the devil's doing in setting up these situations where country fights against country, you're destroying homes. To me, brethren, the strength of a nation is in the home. The strength of a nation is in the home. And the strength in that home ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can still have strength for your country in that home, even without the husband or wife being saved, if they're a husband and wife that have character and at least have some reverence towards God. I believe you can still have some strength there. But ultimately, it's going to start waning if you don't get saved and get into the Bible. You see, what has happened in our homes for about 100 and some years now is the home has been continually degraded and destroyed to where we're at today, to where a preacher can get nervous to say that a woman ought to stay at home and help her husband without the fear of being stoned to death. The thoughts that go through my mind, well, you're saying this, and you're saying that, and you're saying this. Brethren, it's Bible. It's Bible. You know why our nation's so weak? Is because mamas aren't at home raising their children. The daycares are raising them. Then they go to preschool. Then they go to elementary school. Then they go to middle school. Then they go to high school. Measure out the hours that everybody else is having influence on those kids besides the parents. And you tell me who's going to win out in the end. Just measure. You take a little kid from the, they're 6 months old and they're put in daycare. And they're in daycare from 7, 8 o'clock in the morning till sometimes 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. You tell me that's not going to affect how that kid's, his thinking as he grows up. And how he ain't going to listen to dad and mom because the majority of the time his teachings be coming from anybody but mom and dad. Our kids have been raised in this country for the last 60, 70, 80 years by anybody but dad and mom. They've been raised by a system. And the devil has been behind that system. And though the system at the very beginning looked innocent, I believe the devil had greater plans in mind for 100 years later to where you can now teach whatever you want to teach in school to these kids and parents have no say. You couldn't do that 100 years ago. Society wouldn't have had it. You see, there's things we put up with today, even in a church, that the church 40 or 50 years ago would have been aghast for what the church puts up with today. Because the devil works slowly. He works in increments. You see, you couldn't play, I'm just going to throw out some rock bands out there. You couldn't play Rolling Stones, AC/DC, Van Halen, all these rock, you couldn't have played Elvis in a church in 1890 or 1900. But how many people in churches today see nothing wrong with it? You see, you couldn't even think about playing a heavy metal rock band like AC/DC in a church building even 50 or 40 years ago. You can do it today. We wonder why today, brethren, please hear me this morning. We wonder why today there is such a big, huge push now with mental illness. There's another huge couple billboard signs on 22 now, heading out there towards Quakertown. I said, here we go. I just got an article the other day from Psychology Today. I think it was Psychology Today. I said, here we go. Psychedelic drugs and mindfulness helping with mental illness. Anything but the Bible. It's crazy. Brother, it's crazy. We're talking about professors at universities saying now that it's probably good and all right to start implementing psychedelic drugs along with mindfulness to help people that are suffering from mental illnesses. You want to talk about jumping into the fire even more? Where you had this mass shooting the other day up there in Buffalo? Brother, this is just the beginning. And I'm not here this morning to discourage us. I'm here this morning for hopefully some of us will get back and realize what has happened within the church and within the homes. We've destroyed the homes, and we think we can implement character through the public school system when the public school system today is nothing. And I know there's some good teachers in the public school system, and most of the good teachers that are there are being driven out over the last 10, 15, 20 years. They're being driven out. The ones that are trying to stand for right and do the right things and saying this is wrong, they're being thrown out, sued, or facing lawsuits because they try to stand for the things that are right. So I'm not saying that there's not good people in there trying to do the right thing, but the most of the public school system today is a cesspool. It's a cesspool. And we wonder why kids struggle with mental illness for the sake of, I would say, mental problems in their mind with depression. And not find, because what is being pumped into their minds 24/7? You know, the first question I would ask a young man or a young woman today, I've been thinking about these things a lot lately, that says they struggle with depression and anxiety, one of the first questions I would ask them is, how much television are you watching? The second question I would ask them, how much time are you spending looking at your phone? Third question I would ask them, what kind of are you listening to, and how much time are you spending listening to that music? Those are the top three questions. My fourth question would be, if they're saved, how much time are you spend reading your Bible? Fifth question I would ask, how much time are you spending in prayer? Sixth question I would ask, are you coming to church? If you're not doing those six things, or there's problems with any of those six things, and you're not, and you say, preacher, I've done all six of those things, and there's a couple others I got in my mind I can't think about. Preacher, I've done all six or seven of them, and I still have problems. Okay, now let's dig a little deeper then. But until individuals are willing to try to at least do the first three or four or five, let's not put it off onto the psychologist, psychiatrist trying to figure out the situation and what's wrong. As Christians. Brethren, we mess the home up. Not only do we mess husband and wife up, we mess up the kids as well. Bible says here, nevertheless, that every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and see that the wife, that she reverence her husband. A wife is to reverence her husband. The Lord God said in Genesis 2:18, the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Now you say, well, preacher, what does, take your Bible, look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Well, what does a woman or a young girl do? What does a woman or a young girl do that doesn't get married or has never been married or is not to be married? What ought that young lady to do? Serve God. 1 Corinthians talks about that. That she could, 1 Corinthians, we're not going to read it, talks about how then she could devote herself to the Lord and the things of God. Same with a man. Paul says if a man, if he can remain unmarried, that's, Paul said that's better. But if he can remain unmarried and doesn't need a wife, he has no need for a wife, God's given him that gift, then he ought to use his life how he can then now glorify his Lord even more because he does not have a care of a wife. You see, our mindset as Christians, as both men and women, whether married or unmarried, ought to always be, how can I glorify the Lord and live for him? Because that is why we were created. We were created to glorify Jesus Christ and to bring honor and pleasure to God, both men and women. And if you're married, then it is you two now together living and striving for the things of God. So the Bible says here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, look what the Bible says here in verse number 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So here Paul gives some instruction to women that if they profess godliness, if they profess salvation, then they ought to be about good works. Verse number 11, let the women with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. It's a shame. It's a shame what the Bible says here in this sense, that Adam was first formed, and then we know that Eve was created. And as we look there in Genesis chapter 5, he called both of their names. He called them Adam. But the Bible gives us a little insight here in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that Adam was not deceived. When that serpent was talking with Eve, Adam was right there with her. He was there. And it's my personal opinion that this was not the first time that they've talked, or one of them has talked with the serpent. Conversations there. I believe it just didn't start off that the serpent looks at Eve and says, "Yea, hath God said?" I believe there were some other conversations that occurred. That's my personal belief. I believe otherwise, fine. But I believe there was other interactions before we got to this situation. And the Bible says here that Adam was not deceived. Adam knew exactly what was going on. Adam, when they were there at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam knew what was right. He was not deceived. He was not tricked by the words of the serpent. He was not confused. He knew exactly what God said. He knew what God commanded. He had clarity through the whole situation. He was not deceived. But who was deceived? The Bible says here in 14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So who was deceived in this whole situation in Genesis? Eve was. She was deceived. You know why I believe men, God created men to lead? It's because most of the time men don't go off of their feelings. Men are based on fact. black, white, white, black. This is the situation. This is how we handle it. This is what we're going to do. That's why I believe it's very dangerous for a woman to be a police officer. I didn't word this right the last time I mentioned this, so I'll try to word it right this time. God's created women differently. There's different emotions that women go through during the month. And there's times women at certain times of the month would think nothing of pulling a gun out and shooting somebody. Yes, that's very true. That's very true. What? You ain't got your seatbelt on? Oh, whoa, hang on, man. We'll just give him a ticket. Relax. Yeah, but he talked back to me. I know he talked back. Put the gun back in the holster. It's all right. And it's not a knock on women. That's how God created women. Do you see, God created each of us for his purposes. I believe neither is better than the other, but I believe that there's structure that God's created. I don't believe women are second-class citizens because I believe they ought to stay home and raise their children. To me, as a pastor and as a Christian man, to me, there's no greater honor. Yes. To me, there's no greater honor for a woman to live godly before Jesus Christ. And for women to think that a man or a preacher that says that, well, he just thinks I'm a second-class citizen. Well, he just thinks that I'm a woman. Well, no, you don't understand what the Bible's saying. God set up structure. God set up from Bible for a man to lead, for man to be a leader, for man to take control of, lead his home, not as a dictator, but as Christ Jesus leads the church. Who leads the church? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ leads the church. He's the head. Men ought to lead. What the problem today is too many men are afraid to lead. They're afraid to lead because they're afraid to buck what mama might say at home. And you know what it does? It tears down the testosterone. Look here, I got to find an article on this. There was an article years ago. I don't know if it was in a Nature's magazine. I don't know where it was at. It was some nature thing. But they had these birds, these male and female birds, and usually the male birds are more colorful than the female birds. In a lot of species, the male bird, he's like fascinating colors, beautiful colors, vibrant colors, colors that just pop. And then usually the female bird is drab, not bright, just plain colors. But they did a study with some birds, and some female birds were bossing around, being bossy. Just, you know how birds can be sometimes. To the male birds. And the male birds started losing some of their coloring. You know, it's proven, it's medically proven, that if a man has a bossy wife, he's going to lose his testosterone. That's medical fact. If a woman's, that man, unless he stands up and says, stop, you better be quiet, stop. Not talking about being mean, but stop. If he lets that go, his testosterone is going to go down, and that's medical fact. Why so many men have to be on medication today? Because they got a bossy wife at home. And you know what? Most women will respond to a man that acts like and bees like a man. That wasn't proper English right there, but you know what I'm talking about. She understands what I'm saying. Brethren, God establishes structure. God establishes structure. And when you start messing with that structure, you start messing with a society. And even worse off than a society, though there's bad consequences to a society that goes down these roads, there's bad consequences when it comes to spirituality. Spiritual things. It's bad, our condition our country's in a physical sense. But it's much worse the condition our country's in a spiritual sense. How many godly women are there out there today that are willing to be obedient unto their own husbands, to reverence their own husbands, to be in subjection to their own husbands, to be a help to their own husbands? How many men are there out today that are willing to lead and do the things that are hard and make decisions that are hard, even though it feels like the whole world wants to turn on them? They're going to stand for truth and be a man about situations. That's what's needed today in our homes and in our society, and most importantly, in the church. Brethren, I believe, as far as Ray Street Baptist Church goes, this is my belief here, and I believe it's biblical. I believe men, God created men to lead the church. To lead the church. I believe it's the men's responsibility in this church to lead this church. Not just the pastor, the men as well. And I'm appreciative to my pastor through all the years that he put us off in a room somewhere and the men had to hash things out like men to solve problems that were in the church. And I couldn't imagine what it would have been like if there had been women in there. And this is not a knock on women. If you think it's a knock on women, you don't understand what I'm talking about, because I believe it's Bible. I believe it's Bible. Men need to be men. One of the ways I've learned to be a man was in a room, a lot of rooms sometimes, amongst a bunch of men in a church house, and it was something that I didn't agree with, and I had to stand up and be a man and say, well, you know what, I don't agree with that in the right and correct way. And see, God's still dealing with me on how to try to handle things the right way, because with some things I'm pretty passionate about it. So God's still molding me and making me to try to handle situations a little bit maybe more gracefully, but not apologize for what I'm handling. Does that make sense? Because God, we're missing men today. And the reason we're missing men are so few and far between today that anytime a man stands up to be a man today, everybody's like, he's just a meanie. No, he might just be being a man. You think George Patton was a man? Those of you who know George Patton, he was a general in the United States Marine Corps. George Patton, one of the best generals this country's ever had. But you know what? He couldn't control his home or his wife. Read about George Patton. He could direct thousands upon thousands upon thousand battalions of men in battle. Genius in battle. He was a 4-star general in the Marine Corps. Genius. But he couldn't handle his wife. Read about him. He could control hundreds of thousands of men. But when he got back home, he had no control over his wife. Brethren, these are important. If there's to be strength in these last days that we're gonna face, who knows what's right around the corner? And I'm almost done this morning, but I was talking with some people yesterday, and I made the comment that overnight our whole system and society could crash. Overnight. Overnight, brethren. And again, I'm not trying to get people discouraged this morning. We have Jesus Christ. I'm getting us just to try to think as a church, as Ray Street Baptist Church. Overnight, the way some things are going on in the world right now, overnight our financial system could crash and our money could mean nothing. And so we're going to need men and women, men to lead, women, good women to follow, and be a testimony to what might occur out here in this society. Because when it gets dark, it's too late to go back and say, let me get strong in order for the darkness, when it's already too late. It's already too late. Now is the time to get things to where they need to be with God. So if that darkness ever does come, like I believe it's probably going to come, we're going to need to be close to God, strong in the Lord, and have some leadership, good leadership, to understand, to make some maybe difficult decisions. If we're going to have a hard time making a decision over an air conditioning unit or maybe redoing the floors, God forbid if we have to make some very tough decisions outside these doors. Brethren, what would we do if we had to start meeting in the woods somewhere? And don't tell me, preacher, you're off and no. I don't try to watch a lot of news. I try to stay away from it all, but the little bit I do get, things aren't looking very bright. And we're going to see in the Sunday morning hour, the church has been through a time of prosperity and is now complacent. It's complacent. We think it's always going to be like it's always been. Things are changing fast. So we need a strong church with strong, good, biblical, Bible leadership to lead through what might be some dark days coming on the horizon. Stop worrying about fringe topics and start getting in with God. And each of us doing our part for the kingdom of God, and thinking one is than the other, but realizing that God has set certain things up as a structure because that's where the strength is at. Once you finish up Rehill this morning, as we look at here, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in a transgression. He said in verse 15, notwithstanding shall she be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. There's a couple S's here that God requires of women. Number one S he requires of these are godly women now. This isn't women of the world. These are godly women. He says the first thing there, shamefacedness, basically bashfulness. That's what shamefaced means. In a manner that women also adorn themselves in modest spirit with shamefacedness, bashfulness, excess of modesty. It's not Preacher Chris giving the definitions here. This is what the Bible definition says, this word, shamefacedness, to the point where there's excess of modesty. Sobriety, he says next here, for women to be in sobriety. That means women that can control their passions. Women that don't get overheated with imaginations. Bible says, and we read it there, that silly women laden with sins. Silly women laden with sins. It didn't say silly men, it says silly women. Sobriety. We need some women that are calm, cool, serious, and have gravity when it comes to the things of God. Next thing it says, silence. A stillness or an entire absence of sound or noise. You know why it's so important for women sometimes to realize to be silenced? Because you influence. I take my wife's opinions and thoughts very serious. I do. I value my wife's thoughts on things. But I think my wife, and she'll understand what I'm saying, sometimes she's got to be careful because if God's given direction on something and she says, well, what about this? And I've already got clarity on it. Now, because I value her opinion so much, I'm going to backtrack and double track. And now, am I really doing the right thing now? I don't think sometimes women realize the sway that they have for a man that's truly trying to live for God. Any woman in this church that said something to me, I take it to heart. I just don't throw it in a trash can because it's coming from a woman. But I have to make decisions that God leads and directs. Because we're all accountable for what God's put on our plate. So women, keep that in the back of your mind. That your tongue does have power and sway. And the Bible says here, you need to be very careful with what you say and how you say it, especially within the church. Because though it may be good, that may be fine, but there may be times too, the woman was deceived and not the man. Adam had insight. Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived and she was in a transgression. So for everyone, but I would say this morning, I'm not saying it meanly, I say it with respect, women need to be careful what they say. Because they just may be provoked by the enemy to say something that though it may be right, it may not be in the right timing. There's reasons why this is in the Bible. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, and I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp over the authority over the man, but to be in silence. There's a reason why that's in the Bible. There's a reason why it's there. Just don't read over it and think that every man that preaches on it hates women. It may be a man that really loves you. God called Adam and Eve. He called them Adam. May God help us as we go forward to be the men and women, biblical men and women that God desires for us to be. Not only in the home or at the workplace or in society, but in church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I pray these things were understood. And dear God, there's no malice in my heart in saying these things. But God, I believe they're Bible. And Lord, I believe this is one of the reasons why we're in such a mess today. Men won't be men and women won't be women. God, I pray you'd help us, Lord. I pray you'd help us as a church. Dear God, to do things biblically. Lord, help us, Lord. I beg you, dear God, help me to be the man I need to be. And Lord, I pray for the men there in this church. Lord, help them, Lord, to be the men that you want them to be, dear God. And Lord, I pray you'd help the women as well, Lord, to be the women. Oh, dear God, I pray you'd help the women, Lord, to be the women that you desire them to be. Lord, that we'd work together for the cause of Christ. Lord, that the world would see a difference. And Lord, that the world would see that there's hope and peace and love and strength found and by doing things your way according to the Bible. And so, Lord, we ask for your wisdom. We ask for your guidance. We ask for your instruction and help, Lord, to apply these matters to our lives. And Lord, to be what you'd have us to be. So, Lord, we pray thee all these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, brethren. Take a little break. If any men like to pray, 5 minutes, we'll be in my office. Amen.